We are back. We're here. It's the Heart of a Fighter show. Thank you guys for coming back in to the show where we talk fitness, we talk health, we talk motivation, we talk getting your butt up out of bed every day and doing what you gotta do to put the food on the table. I'm your coach, Coach Johan, and today, your long tooth coach, and you guys will be talking about injury recovery. Right, we're going to talk about how to come back from that stuff that knocks you down. We'll talk a little bit about how to stay motivated, because really, that was the whole impetus for this type of show. It was for me to help you guys, to give you guys a helping hand using my insight and the things that I've learned from talking and training with other folks like yourselves, be you in Canada, Ireland, Sweden, and a number of other places in the US. Our goal together is to talk about the things that fuck us up in fitness, in our physical lives, and get us back on track. Guys, real talk. No matter how long you do what you do, if you're working out and you're staying healthy, you're going to trip up. You're going to hit a roadblock. And physical roadblocks, first of all, let's talk about those. You got a business trip. Yeah, you got a business trip. You got that kind of clout. And they send you to some part of the state. It's 600 miles away. You got to take a flight. Only it's not just one flight. This is a weekly occurrence. Maybe you even decide to drive, right? You got to drive once a week, you know, a couple hundred miles every on that day. And you're sitting in that in your mid-sized sedan, you know, it's carrying you a nice 26 mpgs down the freeway, and hey, it's good. You get there, you do your stuff, you go back, you're a little tired when you get home, but the end of the month comes and that paycheck is looking a little thicker, you're happy. But then you go to the gym after all this time, and shit, that back hurts, those hips are tight, and your body is like, oh, we're gonna work out today, huh? Nah, I don't think so. Fuck you. We're not working out today. Nah, you see these hips? You didn't give us any attention. And we're going to rebel on you. You go in. You try to lift a little heavy. You pull out a pec muscle. Right? And then you don't really get frustrated. You leave. Guys, it happens a lot. Because the longer you stay on your fitness journey, it's bound to happen. We're putting ourselves not at risk, but we're putting ourselves in a mode where we need to get stronger. When we're in the gym, we're looking to get better. When we're working out and training. As a result, we can sometimes overdo it. It happens. Right? And sometimes within the course of our lives, where we're doing other things for our jobs and our families, maybe to get ahead, we have to commit. And we have to commit in a way that's totally non-physical. And it starts to kind of betray our physical lives. You know, we end up drinking too much coffee in the morning to get us up out of bed. We snack all day, right? We get fat and complacent. If you listen to episode 15, that's what it was. That was the thesis of that one. And all these things kind of betray our physical lives. We have to get back. Think of it like this. You have world-class athletes playing football, one thing that they've done most of their lives, and they come out when they're 25, they're in the NFL, they're out there practicing 200 pounds of muscle at 6% body fat, bench pressing 315, easy, right? WNBA basketball players been playing their whole lives, out there grinding, lean as all hell, doing their thing. They go to get some Gatorade, whoop, and they rip out you know, two ligaments. You're Tony Ferguson, the fighter, the MMA guy. You go to do an interview, you get up, you trip, whoop, there go three of your ligaments, ripped to shreds. It makes me think about how the most athletic people in the world have these non-contact injuries, and it messes them up. And I used to think, how the hell, if you're in that much shape, can you fuck your body up that bad unintentionally? And it's because we're constantly in the line of fire, so to speak, right? Not so much that it's self-inflicted, but we're there. I say that to say this. It's never easy coming back. But it's one thing to set yourself up for success. Always. You have to go away to come back. And sometimes going away means taking a breather. There are many times for me where I'm training folks who have... generally, when I train people, we're lifting weights. We're lifting weights 80% of the time. And that 20% of the time is something I've recently kind of implemented. That 20% of the time, I'll still have folks lift the way I want them to, which is starting out with the most intense, biggest muscle groups, firing hard, and then tapering down to little ones. I can do that, but I'll do it with body weight exercise. And all this does is forces their bodies to move around in space. Because when we're moving around in space, we're still actively using every muscle we have. We're just doing it within the confines of our own body, right? That's all it is. You're in the confines of your own body. Your body knows what your body can lift for the most part, you know, unless you're extremely overweight, and we get to work. And that usually is kind of a restorative week that I spend with people. It's an uploading phase. So with talking about getting back from physical injury, guys, I recommend getting used to an unloading phase. Unloading is a strength coach's term. As if there aren't enough of those already, right? it's a term that you use in strength coaching. That means you're getting ready for the next week. We're going to do heavy shit next week. So this week we'll taper down on our strength. We'll start implementing some maybe power lifts to get us ready for next week. Well, you guys start doing the opposite. When you get injured, start tapering down. All right? Easy. It was leg day last week. Your hips, they weren't cooperating. Your hips were like, what the fuck? We're actually moving? We're walking around? What is this shit? We're not down. You could ride by yourself on this one. And they stay locked up. No more leg day for a couple weeks. No more leg day. Instead, we want to spend a lot of time doing our body weight stuff. Working that TRX. Pretend you're a Marine. Pretend you're a soldier. Because that's where the TRX was invented, right? It was invented for soldiers. And work that body weight. Work different angles. Work proprioception. Where one leg is doing a lot of stretching. Loading the other leg. Side lunges. Front lunges. And work high reps. Because the goal here is to drive blood back into those muscles, to drive nerves back into those muscles. And you can make this a hard workout. You can break a damn sweat for sure, 100%, just doing your body weight, right? It doesn't always have to be iron sharpening iron. Sometimes maybe it's not iron, right? Sometimes it takes a little finesse. Our hips hurt. Our shoulders are often damaged, fellas. Our low back is a killer. Our IT bands, as it were, the quads, they hurt. So we want to spend a lot of time rolling out, getting stretched, getting loose. And might I take this particular instance to sacrifice all hope of meat-headedness that you might have inferred I had within my genome and propose the following. Yoga. Yoga, guys, Pilates, these things get you loose. They get you limber. And please don't leave it to the most futuristic, you know, alien-like athlete that you know that's also a black belt in jiu-jitsu or a mountaineer. Don't leave it for that extreme athlete to be the one that gets you into yoga. You see them and you're like, oh, how you stay so limber, so strong? You know, you could be on American Ninja Warrior. How you do that? And they can tell you, oh, I do Pilates. Oh, my God, you know, how brilliant. I'm here to save you the minor fleeting embarrassment of that conversation and get into it. If you're having those kind of issues, especially with guys when we lift big, especially when fit chicks, you guys lift heavy and you got competition, right? Don't forget about your stretching and your yoga. Take the time to extend those muscles and the response time to those muscles. Take the time to tell your nervous system to ease the fuck up a bit. To ease up. Take some time to condition the small muscles in those muscle groups. To get the small muscles bigger. That's a thing. To get the small muscles bigger so they're more active. They provide more tension to your lifts. Guys, these are all kind of physiological processes. All I want to touch on, my central thesis, is this. That shit ain't no fun, right? It's no fun to sacrifice your incline benches for reverse curls on the TRX. That sucks, right? You don't get that pump. You don't get those endorphins the same. You can't just quit at 6. You got to quit at 26. It's no fun. But it's a necessary part of this journey that we're on. This physical journey. The physical journey that ends with us being stronger and better. Part of it is push-ups. It's Hindu squats. It's split lunges. It's step-ups. Right? It's shin box. It's Turkish get-ups, but without weight. And if you're going to do Turkish get-ups, please stop using a dowel. I mean, there's nothing more dissatisfying for me personally to see athletes, especially when you're ripped head to toe. It don't even matter that you're ripped. Doing Turkish get-ups or cleans with a broomstick. Nothing displeases me more when I see it. The fact that someone is teaching you to do a move that requires speed with something that generates almost no friction and requires no speed is so counterintuitive, and you look kind of funky. So just stop. Grab the lightest bar you can. Grab the lightest kettlebell you can and go bottoms up. Grab a dumbbell. Go light as hell. Work that form, but work it so that there's some friction, that you need tension within your movements instead of doing a get-up with a piece of PVC pipe. It's stupid. Don't do it, you know. I mean, continue to do it. Another option is a medicine ball, because at least you're getting stability. You're working stability, right? And if you don't know what I mean by a Turkish get-up, they're all over YouTube. Go and look that up. Coach Johan CSCS. I have some stuff. I don't have anything on a get-up yet. But check out the site anyway for other tips. Back to what I'm saying, though, guys. It's not fun. And sometimes when we say it's a necessary detour on our journey, it sounds like we're not heading in the right direction, that it's a tangential detour. And the truth is, we all need recovery. We need stretching. We need downtime in our workout regimen, in our macro cycles. And not scheduling that kind of thing in just ain't that bright. You feel me? It's just not that smart. And quality coaches will always gear back on the types of iron-on-iron lifting. Which brings me to number two. The injuries that come from the spirit. The heart, the emotions. Your hips, they, you know, you did all that driving, all that flying. Your calves, they look like anniversary balloons. Bon anniversaire. And you feel kind of bloated through the knees. It can be crushing. And nothing feels worse than having to come back from an injury, a setback of any kind. Maybe you got demoted at your job. You lost your job. You had an opportunity fall through. You thought you were going to get more money. You wrote out a proposal, tried to parlay two different companies, and they both shut you down. Right? These things set you back. And they kind of put into motion the defeatist mentality that working out, being active, and getting back to your goals is unimportant. Instead, what you should be doing is worrying. This is all too common, guys. I see it all the time. I'm lucky that I have the type of business where people are held accountable by me being here to train. So when I'm able to open those doors and people come, they know that they should be here just for that hour. But when they don't have a good coach, when they don't have someone motivating them, it's easy to slide back into old habits. When fitness isn't part of your normal routine, it's easy to slide out. And when we slide out, what happens is we get demotivated. When we get demotivated, we start forgetting the reasons that we started in the first place. Typically goes something like this. Your back hurts, the neck hurts, right? We start doing less lifting. The less lifting, we notice we're less strong. We can't do the things we want. We can't do the overhead presses. We can't do the overhead squats, right? So we start doing other things. Maybe we skip it altogether. We forget to go back. We go home. We look in the mirror real quick. That birthday suit's on. Muscle shrink. Oh, shit. The water leached out of those muscles, right? The muscles look a little deflated. You did fewer squats and push-ups than you were used to. And the job stress, the home stress, it's still up there, real high, threatening to take away every last photon of energy you had left within. And it becomes easy to kick the habit of working out and getting in shape and getting your ass in there. Well, take this for what it's worth. Those are the times that you need that shit the most. 100%. 100%. The things that are hardest in your life are only hard for us because they're calling cards. They're signals. They're signals from a greater universe, from a greater paradigm, from a meta, right? They're difficult because they're forcing us to grow. And all too easily, we often let go of the things that are there for us in times of need. So our fitness starts to slide. Our nutrition starts to slide. We start eating like crap. We stop cooking for ourselves. When the truth is, all we got to do is do what you do when you're at the Indian casinos. They have a lot of them out here. Generally, we call them Indian casinos. And you see that. You see that four looking at you at the table, right? You got that face card. You got that high card. What do? You double down. You double down. You're looking for that other come up. You're looking for that 19, that 20. Guys, in times of great stress, it's human nature to worry. It's human nature then to lose a little bit of sleep and to let your goals kind of slip off into some kind of ether. When the facts are, we had control the whole time with our choices to work out and get back into shape. And all we got to do in them cases is double down. Force yourself, so to speak, to go run. Because I personally believe what you think of as forcing yourself is actually the spark of motivation you need. And when you're done, you feel great. Write down those goals that you used to have so organized in your mind. Write them down. You got your phone, you got your notebook app, you got OneNote, put them in there, talk them in there. Make sure that they're there for you to check off and start checking that shit off, right? Go to the supermarket and buy your food. When we start going down that road of buying a lot of fast food because we're hella tired, because we're super stressed, make an effort to cook even though it's going to take you a long time. Because these are the things our bodies, the mind, the spirit need for its own spiritual nourishment, but also your body needs for actual physical nourishment, nutrition. These are the calling cards, the signals to your body that you're doing things and your body will respond in kind. I have said it all the time. Be the person that helps someone else get into shape. Motivate others. Join a group. I got one group that I'm setting up on my website. Join a group where you could talk about the fitness, the struggles that you're going through, yes, but solutions for them. How other people made it through. I've constantly been here for this. The best way you can help somebody else out is to exercise with them or teach them something about exercise or fitness. It's the best thing you can actively do to help someone. And yo, if you're doing something and teaching something and proselytizing fitness to someone else, you actually start to get motivated, don't you? All right, you guys, on that note, I have an article I want to share with you. Here we go.
Here's some advice. Psychologists have surprising advice for people who feel unmotivated. By Leah Fessler, August 22, 2018. Per traditional self-help narratives, if you can't accomplish your goal, you should ask for advice. Find someone who has successfully landed the job, gotten the promotion, made the grades, achieved the weight loss, or created the financial stability that you want. Tell this person you're struggling. Then do what she says. According to two leading psychologists, this theory isn't just hackneyed, it's wrong. Their research suggests that the key to motivation is giving advice, not receiving it. Realizing this, we decided to turn the standard solution to self-control on its head. What if instead of seeking advice, we asked struggling people to give it? Right, S. Grace Winkler and Fishbach. To answer this question, they conducted a series of experiments that appointed people struggling with self-control to advise others on the very problems they themselves were encountering. The population samples they studied included unemployed adults struggling to find a job, adults struggling to save money, adults struggling with anger management, and children falling behind in school. Although giving advice confers no new information to the advice giver, we thought it would increase the advice giver's confidence, they write. Confidence in one's ability can galvanize motivation and achievement even more than actual ability. The results suggest their thesis was right.
Yeah, and ain't that about a bitch, right? Having confidence makes you even more stronger than you realize, more so than if you had the talent to engage in whatever activity you were trying to engage in. Nah, but I will say that having confidence in a real way is highly associated with success in a lot of ventures. One of the things that coaches will tell you, and I don't mean just coaches in the arenas of strength and training, but martial arts, is they learn a lot more when they teach martial arts, when they teach you how to jab, kick, and do other things. They learn more, and they become better fighters. So you can imagine what your 55-year-old black belt sensei or Sifu over here is telling you what to do, how much he or she actually knows about the thing that they're teaching you, right? If they're teaching you, it means that they've stopped practicing it wholesale, acquired the knowledge that it, or the practice it takes to teach other folks, learned how to teach people better, saw what they could have done better in their coming up years, and have conferred it onto students. Well, it's about the time where I tell you guys, you can also be teachers in those ways, right? And it just harkens back to not something that I just said, but something that I personally believe is the best way is to help someone else get into shape. Even by talking about what types of activities, even by going to blog pages and list, I would prefer you guys listen to other folks who are maybe watching videos, using that information, and disseminating it yourself. Doing those things in the same way a black belt might teach his or her students how to get better at judo, right? Making them a better teacher. It makes you guys a little bit more motivated. And, you know, that ain't nothing new. That's just the way it's always been with regards to this physical journey that we all take. All right, you guys, let's wrap there. Remember those two keys. The key to coming back from physical injury. Taper it down a little bit. Taper it down so that you're doing the shit that's a little bit more boring. Get used to the way your body moves. That can actually be pretty exhilarating in and of itself. Just knowing how your body moves. Knowing what it, how you break a sweat without weights. Right? That's actually pretty fulfilling in and of itself. Doing things like yoga and Pilates can help you get stronger too. Doing shit where you're on your head actually can get that blood flow going, the lymph going in the opposite direction for once. That's not a horrible thing for your body. Your body likes it. Stick with proprioception. I always struggle with that word. I believe it's proprioception. Proprioceptive exercises and stretches, especially the exercises that force you to stretch before you before you contract that muscle. The side lunge is a good example of that. Go outside your comfort zone by staying within your own body, essentially. And the second thing, guys, when you come back from those inner injuries, talk to others and teach them something. Teach them something about fitness that you learned. Teach them how to learn from them, too. Don't just do all the talking. But also, maybe you guys can try bouncing ideas off some of your friends, some of your cohorts, some of those people that you got, you know, you're all in the Facebook groups with or whatever. Try bouncing ideas off of them. Be active in that. Be proactive in that. Not so much reactive. Get a response, right? Get a response. Instead of asking one single binary question, look for a way that you can interject your own opinion. Remember, too, that staying motivated is kind of the whole thing. When you backslide, when you kind of get injured, finding the means to get up and do those things that you need most. Running. Do your running. Right? You know that you haven't done your running in a while, feeling kind of, down about things. Get up and go do your running. Do less, but do those things. Double down. Double down on your exercise. Double down on your lifts. So that you give your body what it needs. So that it, when you feel better, can carry the entire inner and outer you to success. All you're doing is kind of priming that pump, right? You're lighting the wick. You're starting an avalanche with a ball bearing. Just kick that little fucker down the mountain. Over time, your body will take over. Your spirit will take over. And it'll be an avalanche. And that avalanche has a ton of power within it. So do you guys, right? So keep it moving, you guys. Keep it fucking moving. Hey, thank you for joining me. I'm going to try to pick up a more regular schedule, as carefree as I like to keep it. But I will try to keep a regular schedule. Look for more series. Johan Underdog Trains on Instagram. Yo, don't forget to please find me on those socials. Hit me up. Send me a line. I will respond. And let's continue to talk. All right, you guys. Have a great rest of the day and couple days until I talk to you again. Cool.